الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته، بارك سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah today I want to start a series of reminders on the lessons from Surah Al-Kahf, and the reason for doing that is two things. One is because today is Jumu'ah also, and this is a surah that we are it has been recommended, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked us to recite this surah every Jumu'ah, so inshallah it's a good thing to complete this recitation before Salatul Jumu'ah. If not possible, then at least before Maghrib, so because Maghrib the next day starts, so on the day of Jumu'ah itself, inshallah, from Maghrib of Thursday to Maghrib of Friday. So, and this surah has many barakat in it and so on. So the reason, that's one. The second reason is because we are in the month of Muharram, and it's a month that is one of the sacred months, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prescribed, and he used to fast and so on. So it's a month that we remind ourselves of the responsibilities that we have, and the issue of trials and tribulations that come to us in this life. And Surah Al-Kahf is a very good reminder, because in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala mentions four kinds of trials that face a human being, or can face a human being. I have done a series of Jumu'ah khutbas on this, on the trials of, on the lessons from Surah Al-Kahf, and I am asking Umair to send that link with these reminders also. So those of you who want to listen to that again, you can do that. Those are much more detailed, obviously. So the four lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this surah, the first of them is the lesson to do with trials and tribulations and tests regarding the deen itself. The second lesson has to do with the trials and tribulations that come because of wealth. The third lesson has to do with trials and tribulations that come because of knowledge. And the fourth one has to do with trials and tribulations that come because of power and authority. So inshallah we look at each of these. Now the first one has to do with the trials that come to the deen itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of the Ashabul Kahf, the young men who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and he said that they took refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the cave. And then Allah mentioned that, and he said that Allah also mentioned the dua that they made. And this is a very beautiful dua. It's a dua that especially in times of trial we should make. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Idh awal fityatu ila al-kahfi faqalu rabbana atina min ladunka rahmat wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the youths, they sought refuge in the cave, they said, they made this dua, they said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, grant us your rahmah, your mercy. مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَحَيِّ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, and provide for us a right course in our matter, in our affair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu then told us all that happened in the cave, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them safe for 300 years, and Allah said then add 9 to that. So deliberately a very long time for them to, and Allah kept them safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in detail what all happened with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how they would turn from one side to the other. And today of course we can give all kinds of interpretations and say that that is to prevent bed sores, and you know, you don't lie down on the ground, but these are all our interpretations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why he does what he does. So they turn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned how the sun would shine into the cave in the morning and evening, but not in a way where they would wake up or there would be a chance for them to wake up because of sunlight. So Allah kept them alive and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them well in that state for 300 plus years. Now lesson for us, and then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala woke them up and then whatever happened, happened. Now the lessons for us, number one, is what do we do when we have a trial in our religion? What do we do when there is a test where we find that it is difficult or it is impossible to practice our religion? Now it's very easy to think of this in grand terms of the state that you are living in becoming against you, or masajid being shut down and people being persecuted and jailed and fined and so forth because they go for salah, people losing jobs because they go for salah. It is easy to think of these big things, and it's easy to think of these big things because none of this has happened to us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this. What keeps us from salah is our own laziness. This is a trial in deen. It's a trial in deen. What keeps us from salah is sitting up in the night and interacting on social media, on Facebook and all that till late at night, and then you cannot wake up even for fajr. Forget tahajjud, you can't even wake up for fajr. What keeps us from salah is completely inane and stupid parties and weddings and whatnot, where you go in the night and you spend a lot of time in useless conversation and a lot of time in ghiba, and Allah knows best, eating all kinds of wrong food, and then you come back late and you can't wake up for fajr. So it's easy to think of these grand things, and these things have happened, believe me, these things have happened. They happened in Russia, this is what they did, they happened in Albania, it happened today it's happening in so many places. So Allah has kept us safe from that, alhamdulillah, but we are not safe from the trial to our deen. And if you look at it, when people stand before Allah, and may Allah protect us from this, I am only saying all of this, I don't even like to speak these things, but I am saying this because of the Fajr reminder, I have to mention these things. On the day of judgment, if somebody stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the people from Russia, Muslims from Russia, or Muslims from Albania or someone, and said, Ya Rab, I could not go for Salatul Fajr because I was going to be killed, or I would have gone to jail, or I would have lost my job, and that's why I prayed at home. And along with him or her, we will be standing and saying, what? I did not go to the masjid for Salatul Fajr for what? Who was jailing you? Who was killing you? Who was doing what? So think about this. I mean, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. Allah will do justice. And if we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us because of what we do, because of our laziness, the same way that He will treat somebody else who either prayed at home, or maybe he even went for Salatul Fajr, and then in Albania, when they had the communist rule, they simplified the laws, and the simple law was, anyone who went for Salatul Fajr, he would be jailed for 7 years. Anyone who fasted in Ramadan, jailed for 7 years. Anyone who had a beard, jailed for 7 years. Today we shave our beards. Why are you shaving your beard? Is somebody jailing you? On the day of judgment, you will stand with that man who, despite that, he went to jail for 7 years, but he did not shave his face. And you shaved your face even though there was no jail term. Think about this. I am not making up all this. These are actual realities which have happened in this world and continue to happen. How are you going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To say that every day you used to shave your face and remove the sign of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from your face, whereas the same place next to you will stand your brother from Albania or wherever, or Russia, who did not do that, he preferred to go to jail instead. We have the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. What dua did he make? He said, Ya Allah, I don't want this trial. I prefer jail to the trial that this woman is putting me to. Yusuf alayhi salam made dua for jail. He did so to Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam was not jailed because he committed any sin. He didn't commit any sin. He was jailed completely, unfairly. But he made dua. He said, I prefer the prison to the trial that this woman is giving me. What is our excuse? So when we look at Surah Al-Kahf and we say that these young men, what did they do? When they had this trial where they could not practice Islam, they left the city. They left the city. Now, they obviously, these people were not orphans or something. They were people, they had families or whatnot. They left the city means what? They means they left their families. They would have had some wealth, they would have had some property, Allahu Alam. They left all of that. So they left everything. And they, why did they leave that? Because they gave precedence to the following of their deen. The trial to the religion. And the purpose of the Fajr reminders is to remind ourselves to sit down and reflect and say, what are the trials to my religion and how am I dealing with them? What are the trials to my religion? And very simple things, speaking the truth, not doing ghibah, importance of salah, which is the number one of all this. Importance of salah, importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eating halal, earning halal, interest-based loans and this and that, eating halal, earning halal. All of these things, and these are the fundamental, these are the absolute pillars of our deen. What are the trials? We go for Hajj, we go for Umrah, we go all that way. And then when you come back, you have no sign that the man went for Hajj or Umrah because he has not shaved his head. He goes to Makkah to get a haircut. La hawla quwwata. Then he'll tell you the fitr, the fatwa for this. No, no, but it is permitted. Of course it is permitted, but my point is, where is your ishq for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is your belief in the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he made dua 3 times for the one who does halq, for the one who shaves his head? Where is that what you are saying when you go there and have a haircut, you are saying that you have no value for the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not my fatwa, this is my heart. Because if you have value for the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do you come back without shaving your head? Your hair will grow back, man. Even if it doesn't grow back to hell with it, what the hell? If you wear a topi, wear a turban, you don't need hair. Seriously, I mean, what is the value of this deen for us? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us such extreme examples. Now look at these people. They leave everything. They leave everything and then they go and sit in some cave in the forest and then they make this dua. Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same dua for ourselves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to help us to understand and reflect on what we are doing, because I fear the day when I have to stand with people who, despite undergoing trials and tribulations that I cannot even imagine, they still did not leave their deen. They still did not leave their deen. Now, what answer will I have when Allah puts me next to them? It's easy to say, and we make this dua that may Allah not put us next to them, may Allah have mercy, may Allah cover us with His rahmah. We ask this dua and we ask Allah to do this, but I'm just saying that, think about this. Why must Allah do this? For what? Who are you? What's so special about you? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers you up and gives you Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la bi ghairi hisab, may Allah give it. What must Allah do with these people now? Who endured all these trials and tribulations and so on and so forth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalla. And I could not endure any trial for Allah. I always chose my nafs and I always chose my fashion. I almost always chose whatever the else it was, and that's why I shaved my beard and I forgot my salah and I earned haram and I ate haram. And Allah, and I want Allah to put me and that other person on the same level. I mean, give me a break, Father. Hey, what is this? This fantasy. This is not deen. This is nonsense. This is absolute nonsense. So seriously, we have to get serious with ourselves and make sure that we at least give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an excuse to forgive us and to cover us with His rahmah. Because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no rishta with Allah other than that of abd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us examples in the Quran with respect to His anbiya, their own blood relatives and their closest relatives who were not Muslim, who did not accept their message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what happened to them. The father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, The father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the son of Nuh alayhi salam, and these are all ulul azam min al anbiya, big people. I mean, among the anbiya, the biggest of them. Father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the brother, the son of Nuh alayhi salam, the wife of Lut alayhi salam, all relatives, wife of Lut alayhi salam, husband of Asiya, the wife of Firon, Asiya radiallahu anha. And the uncle, the chacha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people, and not just, because Abu Lahab was also his uncle. Exactly same relation. But Abu Lahab was his opponent. He was his enemy. But Abu Talib, the closest friend, the closest supporter, the biggest supporter. What will happen is only and only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gives us, and that depends on what we do, our actions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him, and to help us to understand that the trials of our faith, we have to face them at our level, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these examples. And Suratul Kahf has all the examples. Today we are looking at the first one, which is the trials to the deen, to the religion, to the faith, to the creed. What do we do with them? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.